For all those that are listening by the internet, we are meeting today for the first time in Margao, in the center of the city. As I speak to you, I'm looking out over the central part of the city, and we hope that this place will work out for us. So good to have Prevere back with us. And he brought his mom and dad with him. So it's good to have them. And I'm sure you know this, but just in case, if any of the children start making repetitive noises that seem to be disturbing the rest of us, it's a season and you have to go outside. So not all of us are disturbed by that. So I would thank you for your kindness on that sensitivity. So I hope everybody likes this place. Yes. I really like it. Hope we get some curtains. That would be nice. And then today, I think we'll, if anybody wants to, we can go to lunch right across the street. We might make breakfast. Depends on how long I go. All right, let's thank the Lord for being here. God, we thank you so much. What a privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us here to serve you in such a lovely place. And we really pray, God, that the word of the Lord would sound forth from this city. And God, that our faith would be known throughout all of this state. And we pray, God, that we would fill this state with your doctrine and that we would be faithful to you, God, while we're living in such a beautiful paradise here, that we would not be distracted and we would serve you and not forget, as the Israelites did so many times when they went into the land of milk and honey. They forgot their Lord. And we pray, God, that that would not be with us and that we would serve you in sincerity and truth and that we would do our best to make you known to those that are around us. And thank you again for leading us and guiding us to this hall. And we do hope, God, that things work out for us here. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, in John chapter 1, verse 45, and we'll read down to verse 47. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. This is really very interesting. Jesus here acknowledges and commends a man who is without guile. Why would Jesus praise or commend this man for being a man without guile? Well, I hope to show you why this morning. Notice the word behold. That's a very important word in this verse. It is an interjection. This kind of interjection in the Greek is used two different ways. Either it is one in which there is a surprise, that one is surprised and says, "Behold!" It is also used to draw attention to something or someone that is extremely important. It was used two other times in the same chapter of verse 1 of John in his gospel. Once in verse 29 and the other time in verse 36. And in both cases, it's John the Baptist. And John is using it to draw attention and focus to Jesus Christ. And he says, behold, when he sees Jesus coming, John says, behold the Lamb of God. The word behold here by John is used to draw our focus upon Jesus, to draw our attention to something or someone, in this case, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and give him our attention. It was used when the object that we are told to behold is special. It was used when the object that we are told to behold was different, was unusual, and was unique. Jesus sees Nathanael coming from a distance. And Jesus says, behold! Some believe it was a surprise, behold, like that. Others say that he was pointing and wanted everyone's attention to be on this man. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Now again, why would Jesus Christ use this word behold in such a case of a man in whom is no guile? I'll tell you why. This is very unusual to find a man of this kind. It is very unusual to find this kind of a person. He was without guile. A man without guile. I mean, it was a shock. It was a surprise. Look! Wow! There you have it right there. That's really what Jesus is saying. Give him your attention. A unique and unusual man is approaching us. That's what Jesus is saying here. Examine him. Study him. Keep your eyes open. Focused on him. There is a man without guile. David wrote in Psalm 32, verse 2, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." In whose spirit there is no guile. The word guile means to be cunning. It means to be crafty, sneaky. It speaks of duplicity and deceit. So this is not a very good characteristic that you would want to have in your life. And only to be without it is a man to be blessed. Guile is characterized by falsehood. Guile is characterized by dishonesty. It is to disguise in order to deceive. It is to disguise in order to mislead, to misrepresent. They seek, a person that has guile seeks to conceal their offenses. It is to have a false estimation of oneself. One writer says the practice of guile often leads to hypocrisy, which is the false pretense of virtue or righteousness and pretending to be something that we are not. If we know what is right and profess to live by that knowledge, but in fact do not, we are hypocrites. So to be without guile is to be free of deceit. It is to be free from being cunning. It's being free from hypocrisy and dishonesty in thought and in action. It is to be a man who is sincere. It is to be a man who is frank and truthful about himself. He is a person that does not hide behind many masks. A man whose spirit is without guile, in Psalm 32, verse 2, he is open to God. He is frank about his sins. And he therefore confesses fully his sins, in Psalm 32. His repentance is sincere. His repentance is real. To be without guile is to be real. Don't forget that this morning. Too many people walk around with a facade and they're not real. To be without guile is being real. This is a forgiven man in Psalm 32. His sins are covered. They're not charged to him. You see, God desires man to be straightforward. He desires the man to be honest in all of his dealings, especially with God. This man is blessed. The Bible says Nathanael was a blessed man because Jesus said he was a man without guile. I mean, to Jesus Christ, Nathanael coming to him was a breath of fresh air in contrast to the leadership of Israel at that time. No wonder Jesus said, "Behold." He was constantly surrounded by hypocrisy. He was constantly asked questions by hypocrites. People that were phonies. They were not genuine. No wonder he said this was such a surprise. Jesus saw the contrast. Here approaches me a real Jew. A true Jew. A man without guile. Nathanael was distinct from all the phony, hypocritical Jewish leaders who pretended to ask Jesus sincere questions but really had another agenda. They did not have his best interest in mind. They wanted to trip him up left and right and center. So many in Israel were claiming to be the sons of Abraham, but instead they were full of guile. Nathanael was a true Israelite. What a stark contrast. The New English translation, I like how it translates this verse. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and exclaimed, "Look, a true Israelite." a true Israelite. Nathanael was, as they say in the modern vernacular, he was the real deal. Have you ever heard of the real deal? I mean, I want people to say that about me. He is the real deal. And that's what they said about, that's what Jesus is saying here about Nathanael. He is the real deal. Being a person without guile, and don't forget this morning, it's about being real. It's about being genuine. It's about being sincere, open. And so many today are missing this in their lives. It's not hiding behind any mask. He was a true Israelite. His faith was not just in words only. What a contrast. Nathanael was completely opposite of the hypocrisy and the pretense that Jesus was seeing all over Israel. And that stuff made him so sick. And Jesus saying, "Behold, look right here. Look right here, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile. It is a man without guile who is plain speaking. It is a man without guile who is honest. He has no hidden or secret agendas, no strings attached to what he says or what he does." So Jesus calls our attention to the quality of a person who is without deceit, being without trickery, not being a person who's being misleading toward others in his speech or in his actions. He has no hang-ups. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder, an axe to grind. No secret conspiracies. He has nothing to prove. That's Nathanael. That's why Jesus likes him. I want you to see this morning, Nathanael's openness impressed Jesus. It really impressed Jesus. His straightforwardness was a characteristic that Jesus really took to. This quality of not having a facade or a phoniness about us is something that is very important to our relationship with Christ. We should never be people that underrate sincerity. Because Jesus didn't, and the Bible doesn't. A person who is without guile, he is a sincere person. Everything about him is sincere. He's not phony in any area. We want to be sincere people. And that's how we should be with each other. In our relationships with each other, we should be sincere. There shouldn't be a measure of phoniness about us when we're talking about our relationships with each other. And even God forbid that we should serve God without sincerity, with phoniness, going through the motions. Joshua commanded the covenant people in Joshua 24:14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." And notice what he says here. "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity." Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Notice that. Sincerity is right next. It's coupled with the truth. Oh, sincere people love the truth.
Ephesians 6:24, Paul says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity."
In sincerity.
In Colossians 3:22, the New American Standard Bible says, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart." Sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. When the first Christians gathered together in Jerusalem, it says this about them in Acts 2:46. It says, "And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and," look, "and sincerity of heart." These were genuine people. No facade. No fakeness. No phoniness. When Paul summarized his teaching, he summarized all his teaching in 1 Timothy 1:5, writing to Timothy in Ephesus. He says, "But the goal of our instruction, the goal of all of our teaching, the goal of all of our commandments, the goal of all of our words and doctrine is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." A sincere faith. Oh, it's so important to have a sincere faith. Sincerity means honesty of mind or intention. Freedom from being a phony or a hypocrite. It is to be without guile. One of the more newer English translations of the New Testament, called God's Word, it interprets John 1:47 in an interesting way. It says, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and remarked, 'Here is a true Israelite who is sincere.'" See, a man who is without guile, he is sincere, he is genuine, he means business, he's not playing any games. Sincerity is a mix of seriousness and honesty. If you do things in sincerity, people are going to trust you. They're going to take you at your word. Because there's going to be no phoniness about you. No superficiality about you. No facade. They take you at your word. Guile is always an attempt to cover up and hide the truth. We've seen that. We've seen guile working with pastors. We've seen guile working with Christian servants that claim to be followers of the Bible. They seek to cover up the truth, to hide the truth. I mean, it was all over Israel with the leaders that had the scriptures. Do you ever cover up the truth with your dealings with others? We need to think about that. Keep in mind, when we talk about guile, it's fraud in some measure. It's a fraud in some measure. It's not being forthright. You don't mean what you say, but you say it in order to make others think of you in a good light. And that's a lie. That is a lie. It's a form of lying. It's to be shrewd and clever. Some of the most shrewd and clever businessmen on the face of this planet are Jews. So when Nathanael comes along, and this is, I'm not anti-Semitic, and And anybody, even Jewish people, would say the same thing. But this is not a good characteristic for those that are disciples of Jesus Christ to be shrewd and cunning and clever. This is not the way we learn Christ. It means to be less than honest in your communication and your actions. The quality of not being really open and frank and truthful. You know, sometimes just be, if you want to talk to somebody, be truthful with them. And they'll always take you at your word. There will be a trust developed. It's very important that we check ourselves. Do you ever recognize any signs of dishonesty in yourself, especially in your dealings with others? Even in the little things. I didn't get your call, I'm sorry, you got the call. Those kind of things, you know? We need to be honest with any measure of dishonesty in our soul. Any measure of dishonesty in our soul. Honesty is of God and dishonesty is of the devil. In John 8:44, Jesus made a statement. He said, "There is no truth in him." That is the devil. And it was an absolute statement. There is no truth in him. Guile is satanic. It started with the devil. It began with the devil. Paul told Elimaeus, the sorcerer, that he was full of all guile. And that he was a son of the devil. In Acts chapter 13, verse 10. An enemy of righteousness. We need to be committed to be honest every single day of our lives. And I think our church is really genuine. I think we are sincere. I mean, moving from... Some of us even moved from Bombay to Delhi and now Delhi to Goa. I mean, that shows a lot of sincerity in the lives of people. People that are genuine. They're the real deal. And I can say that about our church. But remember, Jesus warned us. Let's not neglect the small things in life. He warned us in Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little, dishonest in a very little, is also dishonest in much. Oh, we have to be careful. A person who is without guile has the highest respect for truth. They're willing to die for it. They're willing to pay the ultimate price for it and die for it. Being a true Israelite without guile, Nathanael was definitely someone here who was seeking the truth. He was seeking the truth. When Philip came to Nathanael and told him, "We found the Messiah, the one Moses talked about and all the prophets talked about," Nathanael made it very clear to Philip that he did not think highly of anyone that came from Nazareth. He says in verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He didn't think very highly of that city. But we can see that this did not hinder him. This did not hinder him from seeking out Jesus and receiving the truth. Now, whether that was a prejudice at that time or that was his own personal private prejudice, that's debated among scholars. But he went and saw. Philip says, come and see. He didn't even try to argue with him and debate with him. He says, come and see. A person who is without guile, let me tell you, a person who is without guile is interested in the truth. They want to get down to the brass tacks. They want to get down to the bottom line. The rubber meets the road. All those phrases that we could think of. They are sincerely interested in the truth. Why? Because they themselves are open and truthful people. That's what it means to have no guile. You yourself are truthful. The very opposite of guile is truth. In fact, guile is an attempt, as I've already said, to cover up and hide the truth. We see this in Matthew 26:4 in the Young's translation. They consulted together that they might take Jesus by guile and kill him. They didn't want to take Jesus in the open. They sought to cover up the truth. They sought to hide their evil intentions and evil actions from the rest. Let's do this in secret. Let's hide it. However, a man without guile, he will let nothing, he will not let anything stand in the way of knowing the truth and following once it's revealed to him. He has no hang-ups. Just give me the truth and I'll receive it and I'll follow it. That's Nathaniel. And once Nathaniel was understood who Jesus was, in John 1:49 it says, Nathaniel answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. I mean, that had to be so, so refreshing to the ears of Jesus Christ. To hear a man in the nation of Israel, one of his own, speak without guile. To speak in such sincerity and truth, Jesus must have just, oh, this is great. The one who's without guile, he has a habit of speaking the truth. In Ephesians 4:25, it says, therefore, putting away lying, putting away falsehood, let each one of you that is in the church speak truth with his neighbor. Speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. So Paul is exhorting us as church members, don't have any weird facade or phoniness in your communication with each other. Always speak truth. Always be up front. Don't be slippery and sliding on the side. A person with guile will always lie to cover up their evil actions. They lie. Why? Why do they lie? To protect themselves. And a person that acts toward you with guile, he doesn't have your best interest in mind. He has his own interest in mind. And they lie. They lie to make themselves look better than they are. Oh, let me just tell you, guile creates distrust. I read somewhere where it says, the good thing about telling the truth is that you do not have to remember what you said. Right? But oh man, if you're one of those guys, if you're into the white lie thing, you got to remember, I didn't mean that, this. And Mm-mm. Lying complicates our lives. It complicates our lives. And always remember, the one who speaks the truth always has your best interest in mind. Even though it might hurt, even though you might take offense, they have your best interest in mind. They're sincere. You can trust their words. A person who's crafty and shifty and lying and not straightforward and deceitful, you can better believe he does not have or she does not have your best interest in mind. Jesus could trust in what Nathanael spoke to him. Why? Because there was no deceit in his mouth. There was no guile in his mouth. He could be trusted. If you want to be a person others can trust, be like Nathanael. Be a person who's without guile. His lips were without guile. Now, John in the book of Revelation talks about this group of 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7, and also he describes them in chapter 14, whether they are a literal number of people, are they representative of a group of people, that is debatable, and I'll let you deal with that on your own studies, and we'll get to it later on, hopefully, in our walk with God. But today I want you to see how John describes this group of people, whether they're representative or whether they're literal 144,000. They're amazing. In verse 4, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So they're not defiled. They're virgins. They follow the Lamb. They are redeemed. They're the first fruits. And then in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile. I like that. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And that's what we want to be, right? We want to be without fault before the throne of God. And the reason that these 144,000 are without fault before the throne of God and have no guile found in their mouth is due to the fact that they are followers of the Lamb. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, did not have guile in His life. It says in 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So the followers of the Lamb have the same characteristic that Jesus Christ has. So if we're followers of the Lamb this morning, we're going to be found before the throne of God without guile in our lips. Why was there no guile in the lips of Jesus Christ? Why was there no guile in the 144,000? Why? Because they spoke the truth. Jesus said in John 8:40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. I'm a man who has told you the truth. And what do you want to do about it? Kill me. Jesus said in John 8:45 and 46 that he speaks the truth of God. He desires the best for us. He's not a hireling. He is the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep by speaking the truth. Paul was the same way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit or of uncleanliness, nor in guile. Paul said, we didn't come to you preaching and teaching guile in a guile manner. A man, again, without guile is always going to be shooting from the hip. He's a straight shooter. He's straightforward. He speaks only the truth. The opposite of guile is to say what you mean and mean what you say. That was Jesus. That was Paul. They said what they meant, and they meant what they said. That was Jesus. That was Paul. That was Nathaniel. That's the 144,000 who are standing before the throne of God without fault. A person without guile is a person of innocence, honesty and intent, and pure motives. He's pure. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God." For they see God. To be without guile is to be pure in heart. To have no guile is a sign that our hearts are pure and that we seek to hold nothing against no one. We hold nothing against no one. Oh, we want to have no guile at all in our lives before the throne of God. All the phony religious cover-ups and will all be exposed. In Hebrews 4:13, it says that we will all be naked before Him in that day. Is any wonder that the psalmist said in Psalm 34:13, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." No guile. Let me just say this morning, guile is not a good thing. It's not something that we should have at all in our life. We should try to root it out. We should try to find it. We should investigate ourselves and get rid of it. Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 2:1. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." This word, laying aside, oh, it's a strong word. The English Standard Version says to put away. The New English Translation says get rid of. The NIV says rid yourselves of. We got to throw it far away. We need to get rid of it. In closing this morning, Peter goes on in the third chapter and he describes a life without guile. It's a righteous life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." There we have it again. "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." We're talking about the righteous here. "And his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." If we're without guile, we're honest, we're true, and we are righteous in all of our ways, let's be without guile before Christ. Let's be like the bride who made herself ready in Revelation 19 in verse 7, that made herself ready, it says. I want the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sure you want the same thing. I want Jesus Christ to point a finger at me and say, "Behold, behold." A true Christian. A true Christian. A man without guile. That's what I want to hear from Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, for the exhortation, for the example that we have in Nathaniel. What a powerful example he is. We want to be like him, God. We want to be people without guile. even the way we the word is said, guile. It's something that we don't want in our lives. It's something that is totally antichrist. It's of the world, it's of Satan, it's of the devil. Help us, God, to root out, get rid of, as Peter said, rid ourselves. That's our responsibility, to rid ourselves of all guile. To be open, to be honest, to be frank, straightforward, sincere Christians with a sincere faith that pleases you, God. Let us have sincere relationships with each other. Let us serve you in sincerity and truth. We thank you, God, for this place again, for bringing us here, for providing us the funds to be in this little room in Margao. And again, help us to be faithful to proclaim the word of the Lord and bring people, God, that are looking for the truth, like Nathaniel, that are sincere, that are genuine. Root out all the phonies and bring us the genuine. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.